Welcome to the Cheeky Investor Podcast. This week is a popular topic. It's talked about in Facebook. We've been asked personally to talk about this, and it is currency hedging against your investments. Gareth, it's pretty exciting to talk about this because it means that people are investing outside of Australia for the first time in probably forever for a lot of people. And it's become popular because it's a good thing.
Oh, excellent. No, 100%. It's a good thing. It's something that we're big on, which is looking towards the US market. And it shows that there's an appetite for people to learn, to discover new stocks, to figure out new systems. That's great. That's exactly what you want because that's where opportunities are. And it's also the benefit of technology, just how much easier it is now to be able to invest in the US stock market or in the FTSE or in, you know, Asian markets, whatever it is. You have this ability now literally at your fingertips through the use of phone apps to be able to do that. That obviously has never been, you know, this is only years old. I mean, this sort of technology isn't particularly old. And yet, you know, trading and investing has been around for a very long time. So we're in this sort of great moment in time where you're absolutely right. There's all of this opportunity for people to get on board and look outside of their own country for investments. And that to me is really exciting because I know we talk a lot about the US and there's all these great, exciting things happening over there in terms of investments. So I'm glad we're talking about this. It is a relevant topic. We did get asked to sort of talk about hedging by one of our awesome cheeky crew. So I'm delighted we're sitting down and doing it because it's the right timing to sort of go into this.
Very much needed. And it's come about, you know, like we said, a lot of people are investing in the US for the first time, and now the Australian dollar is actually the lowest it's been in a long time, certainly the lowest I've ever seen it, if not the lowest ever. So very ripe topic. Probably go viral, this podcast.
Super ripe, super viral, like a lovely, lovely apple or tomato.
This could be a Kardashian podcast.
Is there a Kardashian podcast? I assume there is. No, there wouldn't be. They can't.
No, but I mean Kardashian level famous. It'll be like...
Oh, yeah. Billion dollars. Yeah. No, we need you in like bikinis and stuff like that, Phil. That's how we're going to get famous.
I'm ready for it. It's called a Tuesday night for Phil, but if people want to pay to see that, then...
Actually, listeners, that is a Tuesday night for Phil. And he tries to call me and show me his Tuesday night. It's horrendous. Before we scare everyone off, let's maybe start, as we tend to, with what actually is hedging. What are we talking about when we talk about currency hedging? Let's start there, Phil. You're the man to explain things. Please use stats. You love stats. Just any stats you can get in, just get them in.
Just random stats.
Let's start there. So what is currency hedging?
All right, so I'll go broader. Hedging. Hedging is just protecting yourself against fluctuations or volatility. So whether that's volatility in interest rates, exchange rates, prices of an asset or a commodity, you're hedging to lock in something that's a bit more concrete against an unpredictable or a volatile moving asset or vehicle. So two really good examples. One is you look at airlines. And airlines will hedge oil prices. So someone like Qantas will want to lock in oil prices at, say, $44, $45 a barrel for the next 3 years. So if oil goes up, higher than that, it's good for them. If it goes lower than that, they're losing out on the current market rates. However, it makes it more predictable. They can, forecast their profit margins. They can have a look at their cash flow based on this, and they don't have to worry about that fluctuation. Another example that's probably common to more people is locking in your mortgage. If you have a look at fixed first variable interest rates, that's a form of hedging against the interest rate in your country. So, you know, if you take a two-year fixed interest on your mortgage now, then you're giving yourself a bit more stability and a bit more clarity over what your repayments are going to be. You can manage your cash flow a lot better and you can lock in a bit of certainty for at least 2 years. That's probably a common example. You're actually hedging yourself against something that's variable, again, something that fluctuates, something that's a little bit unpredictable, and that's the interest rates in the economy.
Excellent. Two very good examples that explain that sort of general process. So I suppose in this context, Well, we can talk about, I mean, it is about currency hedging more specifically. So do you want to maybe just add on a little bit more then, just to get a bit more specific in exactly what currency hedging is? I mean, you should probably understand what it is now by what Phil has said, but just in case people are still a bit unclear, how does then to flow on, how does, what is currency hedging?
Yeah, so the reason it's come about at the moment is the Australian dollar's decreased a lot. So let's run through an example. About 12 months ago, the Australian dollar against the US dollar went down to about 57 cents. So one Aussie dollar got you 57 cents in America. So a lot of people are concerned that, you know, that's the lowest it's been in a while. And if they invest now and it goes back up, then they're actually losing out on their money. So example, over the last month, it was down to 57 cents. So let's say this time 4 weeks ago, you had $10,000 in Australian money and you wanted to invest that in the US. You'd put it over your $10,000, you'd get $5,700. Let's fast forward to today, a month later, and you didn't find anything valuable. You didn't find any stocks that you wanted to invest in, and you convert your US dollars back to Australian dollars, except the exchange rate has gone up from 57 cents to 64 cents. So we originally started with 10,000 Australian, converted it to US, and now we want to convert it back to Australian. It'd actually only be worth $8,960. So your original $10,000 has gone down by more than $1,000 or more than 10% just through the fluctuation in exchange rates. You've done nothing else. You haven't actually invested in anything. You've put it over, you've changed your mind, you've bought it back. It's actually cost you 10% of your portfolio. So people are looking for ways to hedge their portfolio when they're invested in an international market. And that's where the currency part comes in. So they're not taking those 10% losses on their investment. They're looking to get a bit more clarity. They're looking to potentially, you know, maybe lock in their exchange at the current rates now of 64 or even higher. So you, again, trying to minimize that fluctuation or that unpredictability of the currency exchange rates.
Cool. That's perfect. Yeah, that's a very good detailed explanation. Just while you were sort of talking through that, I was just thinking of, you know, currency hedging and fluctuations. In the long term, would it be fair to say that there isn't a huge fluctuation among currencies? Like, what I'm trying to get at is this something that's more relevant for trading? So people that are operating on a, you know, an hourly, a daily, a weekly, a monthly sort of trade, or actually does this apply to also to investing, to people who are looking at sort of years in terms of returns? Like, where does it fit? Is it across the board, or is it more relevant for people who are trading?
It's probably more relevant for shorter term investors. And we'll talk a little bit later about how you can use a trading to offset some of the fluctuations.
Mm. Yeah.
So to talk about the long-term perspective, I'm going to pull up some data. 91, the exchange rate, Australian US dollar, was about 77, almost 78 cents. And that was 1991. What was that, almost 30 years ago, 29 yep. years ago? And then today it's 64 cents. So you think of a 30 year period, that's not a huge change. The high point for that period, it went up to about $1.08, $1.09, and the low point, it went down to about 49 cents. So it fluctuates over the long period, over that period of time, but it sort of evens out around that 70, maybe 75 mark, is the long-term sort of average. Now, obviously, if you bought in at that 49 cent mark in 2001 and sold out at the $1.08 in 2012, then you'd be in a bit of trouble because you'd have lost so much value in your investments just through that exchange rate. But the general rule is that over the long term, over a good 10, 20 years, it doesn't have that much of an impact. And in fact, if you're looking, like all the research and data says that if you run a portfolio that's hedged against currencies for the long term, it will underperform a non-hedged portfolio. And again, you just look at something simple like home loans. They only let you put in a fixed interest home loan for about 2 years. That's short term. You want to take that approach with your investing. If you're only looking to invest in international markets for 2 years, then you know what, you might want to try and hedge that a little bit. But anything longer, it sort of works itself out over a long term, or it's just too unpredictable to try and, you know, sort of lock in that amount. Because again, imagine if you lock in something, if you'd have locked in interest rates, you know, 2 years ago in Australia, and you're paying 3%, and then they've gone down to what they are now, you'd have lost that. You'd have lost that opportunity to save more money. So it's very much about the short-term investing. Long-term, it'll average itself out. Short-term, it's not that sort of, yeah. Short-term, you need to do it if that's your focus.
Yeah, sure. Okay. That's helpful. So while we're talking about that, I suppose let's sort of go through what are the disbenefits. So why would you not look to hedge your investments? The first point you make, obviously very valid, which is around the fact you are tying yourself into a certain price. In the longer term, that actually generally doesn't tend to work out. But you have to obviously be mindful that, yeah, you're potentially, and we'll talk about ways that you can actually hedge, you're potentially tying yourself into a particular price that may not sort of work out to be the case. What else is a worry with hedging? Does it in any way reduce the potential return from investments?
It does. It's because you just don't know. It's one of those things, you don't know how much to hedge, how long to hedge for, how long to take that opportunity on.
Yeah, because you're trying to predict the future, basically.
Pretty much, yeah. And you only want to do it. It makes sense for someone like Qantas to do it because they know that they're going to be buying fuel in 3 years' time. So they can lock in a bit of certainty now. And the same, it makes sense for your mortgage because you know you're going to be doing it in that period of time. So they're talking about cash flow. They're talking about cash flow and predictability. Whereas investing, if you're investing over a two-year period, and it depends how you kind of do it. If you're just lump sum investing, then you can't really hedge against that as well because you're kind of buying in at that time. You know, you can buy some ETFs that are hedged against different currencies. So you might buy, you know, ETFs that have got this fixed kind of currency exchange. But again, it's hard to imagine a month ago if you'd have locked in the exchange rate, thinking that it was going to go down anymore. You'd have been burnt by, you know, a 10% increase already that you've missed out on. So it's hard to do well in that short period of time. And in fact, it's actually a really sophisticated way of investing. And the general sort of research is you need a portfolio big enough for it to be worthwhile. And we're talking about, you know, these managed funds would be doing it. They'd be hedging their investments because they're talking about billions. If we're talking about a $10,000, $20,000 portfolio, I mean, the impact over the short term isn't significant. On a percentage basis, sure, but, you know, by the time you set up and analyze and pay someone to manage that hedging for you or try and hedge yourself, you know, the net outcome isn't probably beneficial to do it.
Yeah, okay. No, that's interesting. So is it then sort of something you wouldn't really be saying, you know, if someone's starting, let's say they've got $2,000 to invest, they're looking, let's say the US, would you sort of be saying, look, you probably don't need to kind of worry too much about it. You know, you're not really at a level where it's going to be an issue, and it's so complex and potentially costly. For that amount of money, you know, it's just really not worth actually doing it.
Yeah, no, I mean, at that point, that starting point, it's not a huge amount. Yeah. Like, you'd rather just probably buy the stocks and hold them for a bit longer.
Yeah.
Over a period of time.
Definitely. For sure. And that's something, you know, when we talk about value investing and we, you know, we've got the 28-day value investing bootcamp, all of that. Hedging isn't something that we particularly talk about for the reasons that Phil sort of outlined there, which are very much about, you know, there's a time and a place for everything. And I suppose, so for those, you know, we've seen lots of comments on boards and Reddit and stuff like that. And, you know, lots of people are jumping into this idea that potentially it's this sort of big issue. I think it only becomes an issue at a certain level. Sure, it's important to understand what it is, because you may wish to hedge your investments or start to look to figure out how you can do that. But the reality is, for most people just starting out who don't, you know, throwing a couple of grand into it, yeah, it's probably not something that, you know, really needs to feature. And, you know, we might as well be honest about it. Yeah, it's not something you need to particularly worry about until you sort of get up to sort of a higher level of investing or trading. So is there any other sort of negatives, Phil, that you can think of at this stage that you might say, oh yeah, obviously the big ones you've sort of gone through, which is, you know, the risk associated with getting your numbers wrong or not getting your numbers wrong, just you know, not getting the right numbers, and the cost associated, things like that. Is there anything else that jumps out as what could be a negative for hedging?
Just the opportunity cost. I mean, if you're taking your investment funds away to put into an ETF, for example, that hedges against currency fluctuation, and there's some bargains in the US market, I mean, these might go up to a point that makes hedging insignificant. You know, if you're buying some of these companies in the United States where, you know, they might be, for argument's sake, 30% undervalued, and something goes up, it goes back up to where it was, you know, if it's going up by 30-odd percent, you know, that means that it's a massive increase. And if they're going up that far, hedging's almost sort of irrelevant. You know, I mean, it'll still diminish your portfolio if things go against you, but it's just some opportunity cost. Do you really want to put your money into a hedging portfolio when there's potential bargains that you can buy that are just going to produce really good results? Like, imagine, let's go real hyperbolized kind of example. You're buying Apple in 1999, and you know, they're kind of like $3 or $4 a share. And you're trying to hedge against that over the long period of time. The opportunity cost of that money trying to hedge against it, because the currency exchange 20 years later is pretty much the same.
The same.
You've just walked out on buying more equities at a cheaper price.
Yeah, 100%. And look, that's a great example of this is it. It is a very technical thing, and you know, I'm definitely all for information and things out there, but I think people just need to be slightly careful. You know, there is lots of groups and chat about this, and there's people who do know what they're talking about, and there's people who potentially don't know what they're talking about, and they're kind of mentioning this as this issue where, yeah, Phil's very clearly and very well explained why it's actually something you kind of have to be quite careful of. So, yeah, that's really good. So I suppose, look, that's the kind of negatives to it. Let's maybe talk about the positives and then maybe just give like an example of sort of hedging, so maybe, you know, future contracts, whatever it is. So let's talk about the positives then. So obviously the first positive is if there is a lot of money shifting around internationally, you can end up losing money if you've got a significant investment in different countries, and depending on what's happening with the sort of currencies in those countries, you could end up having a significant drop in your portfolio. So fundamentally what hedging is attempting to do, or what the process is about, is to protect against those losses and minimize those losses. So clearly a massive bonus, Phil.
Yeah, and I think you've explained it well. It's just locking that in. You know, we take at the moment 64 cents, you know, if you want to get a hedged portfolio or exchange traded fund at the moment, it's just protecting you if the, you know, if it goes down, if it goes down to a smaller amount, if it goes up, it'd be the one that'd be the issue. Mm. Because if you buy it at 64 cents and then it goes up to a dollar, that's a concern, because the currency's gotten weaker, the US currency's gotten weaker. So by putting in a, you know, a bit of a protection, you know, you're offsetting some of that loss. And again, it's not going to, the key word there is offsetting. It's not getting rid of your loss. You're still going to lose, but it's just going to diminish that sort of loss. But again, we take long-term averages, and this is all we can kind of do at the moment. It sort of sits around that 70, 75 cent mark. And being at 64 cents, it's not, you know, not too far off that.
Yeah.
It's not, it's not
which,
like,
we're down in the street. People might think is surprising, but you know, this is the thing with money and with currency, particularly currency. The benefit of currency is the short-term fluctuations, those pips going up and down. In the longer term, the sort of world economies, you know, post World War II, it's, you know, it's kind of been roughly the same. So this is the thing about it. I suppose for me, maybe another benefit is if you're investing in multiple currencies. So let's say you've invested in, you know, the Canadian stock market, US stock market, Japanese stock market. So you've got all these different currencies. What may happen is you may get a cumulative impact from all those currencies struggling, let's say in a hypothetical situation. And you know, that might then have a disproportionate impact. But again, look, we're talking about very particular types of investing, and certainly kind of not generally the stuff that we're teaching people, because, you know, we're very much just about keep it as simple and straightforward as possible, and that's where the benefit is. But yeah, if you have that sort of diversified portfolio, and that has a significant amount of money in all these currencies, yeah, even if two of those currencies drop, that might have quite a big impact in terms of where your returns are at. So same thing Phil was saying, you know, all hedging is about is offsetting that loss. So you're going to get that loss, but it's about setting something up in place that should give you an equal gain to that loss. So perhaps that leads on to then examples of what hedging actually is. I mean, the one that jumps up for me is the future contract, the futures contract. Phil, do you want to explain a little bit about that? Or if you've got another example, throw it in.
The future contract is, again, the Qantas example with the oil prices. Mm. They're locking in to pay an agreed amount, even into the future. They're saying this time in 2 years, we're going to pay $45 a barrel, regardless of what the actual cost of oil is. The future is the same thing. It says, you know what, we're going to agree on an exchange rate of let's lock in 64 cents and do that for the next 2 years, regardless of what the exchange is. So it's just giving you, again, that kind of concrete stability just through kind of a contract. And this is what they do with exchange traded funds. So you can have hedged currency funds, and they do that. They lock in those exchange rates for that period of time so they can give a bit more stability. And again, it's no different to, I come back to the mortgage because I find people grasp that a bit easier. Mm. You know, if you go back even like 2 or 3 years ago and you lock in that interest rate at 3% or 3.5% for 10 years, and they're currently down at 2% now, then you're missing out on that opportunity. So, you know, that's one way to do it, is lock in that C contract for difference, and you get the professionals to do that through an exchange traded fund. One of my all-time favorites, an easy one for doing it, is if you're doing dollar cost averaging, it actually works for currencies as well. So if you just say, I'm going to invest $500 every single month into the US stock market, well, you're buying at different currency exchange rates for that period. So sure, last month it might've been 57 cents in the exchange rate. This month at 64, next month it might be 66, then it might be 60, then it might be 70. You're kind of doing a dollar cost averaging for your currency. And that's a way to hedge, because you get a different cost basis. Your lowest point might be 57, your highest point might be 80, but you work out an average in between, which is kind of 70, 75. So just by continually doing that and not just throwing a lump sum in now, it is a super effective way that anyone can do without getting complicated, just committing over the next period of time is continually buying that stock.
Awesome. That's a super simple way to do it, and you know, it means, and then again, it makes the point about all this, which is you know, the sort of impact is maybe more about people that are a bit more active, where they're actively jumping in at different times. What you're saying is, yeah, look, really straight. That's a really straightforward way to do it. Because if we're talking about, to go back to the future contract thing, yeah, you made the point, you have to go, you'd really want to get professionals to do that for you. I mean, there's costs associated with that. And this is the thing, you see, and it goes back again to the point that we were talking about at the beginning, which is, this isn't, you know, hedging isn't something that comes into play for people that have a, you know, $1,000 or a couple of $1,000 or five or even 10, probably $1,000, a $15,000 or $20,000 portfolio, because it's just, you're not really at that level where you're necessarily going to get the benefit of it, because you'll have to pay fees for people to do that. And there's also risk that if, you know, as we've pointed out, if you get the numbers wrong at the beginning and you're hedging the wrong numbers, something happens in the economy, something changes, suddenly then you're in a loss and you're stuck in this position that you're going to end up losing out on. So I would recommend do what Phil says in terms of, you want to hedge in a kind of a more everyday sense, just continually invest, and you'll be investing in those different price points, so you won't have those fluctuations impacting on X amount of money that you have in the stock market. You'll be continually adding at different times. To me, that's probably the best approach to hedging. And I have to say, I don't really know. I have to look and see what people are what people are saying on boards, Phil. I don't know what advice people are giving, but inevitably, there's always someone who has to give the most fucking complicated answer ever. There's always somebody who's read this like detailed like technical manual, and they're like, no, this is what you need to do. It's a 17-step process. And, you know, it's like, nah, just continue to invest in the stock market and you'll cover yourself. So look, interesting. Was there any other ways? Sorry, just before we sort of sum up, any other ways that you'd sort of say people might be interested in terms of hedging or you know,
yeah,
sort of cover them all?
So we've kept it pretty simple. Like, it is a complicated, sophisticated investing topic.
Yeah.
So if you want to have a bit more of a look, what I suggest is just going and have a look at the exchange rate over time and just testing out some theories. Just say, what happens if in 2006 I invested 10 grand in the US stock market and I pulled it out in 2016? And what you want to do is calculate the returns in the US stock market for that 10 years, and then you want to have a look at that currency fluctuation as well. And do that a couple of times to see if there's actually a significant result. Does it actually, you know, have that huge sort of impact? I remember I did it for a period, I think from probably around there, 2005 to 2019. And I think it took about, it shaved about 3% a year possibly off what the investment return was, which was still better than just investing in the Australian market.
Yes.
Actually, no, it wasn't 2019. It was exchanging when it was at parity. So the ultimate worst case scenario. So that's where you want to, because you can't just say, you know, oh shit, I didn't hedge, it's cost me 3% per year. You want to have a look at what else you could have done with that money. And even if you'd have put it in the Australian stock market, being unhedged in the US, given the exchange rates, would still have been a better outcome than just investing straight up in Australia.
Opportunity cost.
Again, yeah.
And that for me is the kind of sum up of this. You know, it's like sort of lots of things in life where, you know, there's always little ways and there's always things you can do just to get that little bit more. But you have to kind of step back a bit and look at the bigger picture. And for me, this is one of those cases where, sure, there's so much effort and energy and time you can put into hedging. The reality for, certainly for me and my portfolio, and I think a lot of people out there is, they don't, you know, this isn't, there's an opportunity cost here if you go down that route, because the reality is, and what we teach and what we tell people is, and show people, and Phil's great at demonstrating this stuff, is there's incredible opportunities in the market, and particularly now. You know, forget trying to predict future things. Just, you don't need to worry about that. If you're grabbing the opportunities that Phil shows on our Facebook page or whatever, those opportunities are more than enough to offset any losses you might get from fluctuations in the currency, is my view. You know, we're not in a situation where currencies at the moment are fluctuating so wildly that, you know, we're getting these huge variations in returns. And I don't think that's going to happen. And that's pointed out by the fact that the sort of average currency rates have always been fairly stable if you look at the longer term trends. So for me, it's opportunity cost is the kind of word here about hedging. It's, don't waste your energy and time in trying to resolve an issue that really isn't that big an issue. You're much better using that energy and time in actually figuring out some awesome trading techniques and strategies, awesome investing techniques and strategies, and basically generating your money through there. So that'd be my sort of takeaway from it all.
Yeah, 100%. Try and kind of keep it simple and, yeah, you know, worst case, you're buying now at 64 cents and it goes back up to parity where it's a dollar for a dollar. Buy more stocks then. So if it goes back down, then it offsets. That's
it. I love it. Offsets out of I love it. It's, yeah, it's not Occam's razor. I don't, what's the thing is, like, the simplest answer is generally the right one.
Yeah.
I don't know who's, anyway, you know that sort of phrase. And it's absolutely true. And this is the same, exactly the same way. So look, is there anything else you wanted to add, Phil? Or is that...
No, I think I'll overcomplicate it if I keep talking.
I know. And look, this is the thing. I know you were loving it. You were getting right into it. And I was like, oh, look, and this is always what we try to do in this podcast. We're not trying to be... There is podcasts out there where they'll get into all the technical stuff. Our view, my view, is what we're doing here is teaching people to get into trading and investing. you know, like there's certain levels of things you need to know at certain times. A lot of what we're doing is just saying, look, as a beginner, as someone who's maybe fresh or someone who's been investing themselves but don't really know the game that well, and that's the kind of level that we want to sort of teach and explain at, because for me that's the best level. If you can explain it at that level, then you're doing pretty well. So hopefully you did get value out of this and it's helped you make a decision as to whether hedging is something you need to worry about or not. Just before we wrap up, just a quick shout out to say, firstly, thank you to the Cheeky Crew member that recommended this podcast. And secondly, we have this we will be launching this incredible new course. It's Day Trading Mastery. So for anyone that's looking at, you know, they're at home thinking, how can I generate some extra money? We've put together this. It's a really excellent course. What I'd say is if you have any interest in day trading, now is the time to look at it. And the course we have is covers everything you need to know about day trading, but it's done in a way that it's step by step. We're there to guide you through it. So you're fully sort of helped out and assisted. If you've got interest, hop onto our Facebook page. We've been putting posts up there. Just like the page, make sure you're getting all our information. And we'll be regularly over the next probably week, I'd say, or two, Phil, we'll be putting up posts just directing people to where to sign up and get some early bird access. Anybody interested, I would definitely say jump on it. And obviously I'll finish to say thank you all for listening again. We absolutely love, you know, getting out and telling people and helping people and giving them knowledge and all the rest of it. So thank you so much for listening. And don't forget, we are on Facebook at Cheeky Investor. We've got cheekyinvestor.com where we've got loads of products and information and videos and training and everything on there. And obviously just reach out to us whenever you can. We're constantly getting emailed and DM'd and we love it. You know, I'm not great at the technical stuff. That's Phil's job. But Phil loves answering. He'll literally answer in about 3 minutes and test him on that. So yeah, thank you all for listening. And yeah, hopefully we'll catch you next week.